sure as God made green apples, someday the Chicago Cubs are going to be in a World Series.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs win the World Series!
You are Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast.
But we didn't come here to drink beer! We came here to win this ballgame!
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I said to the Uber boy, I said, take me out with the crowd!
What's going on, Cubs fans? You're listening to Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Sean Sears, and on today's episode, we've got a giant NL crossover episode. We actually went for about 45-ish minutes or so, talking with all five of the hosts, including myself, of the NL Central teams, here being the Cardinals, Pirates, Brewers, Reds, and of course the Cubs, being myself. We all talked through just kind of what we're expecting from this season, get an idea of what the NL Central is going to look like. Just kind of did a big crossover episode. We actually planned this before we realized the network was going to have us do Wednesday crossover episodes. So there's actually going to be a crossover with Lucas Smith that'll be out on the show Wednesday. We're talking specifically the Cardinals. Get his take on that and, of course, share our thoughts on the Cubs or whatnot. But we kind of just do a widespread kind of NL Central talk here where we dive specifically into each team, some of the prospects coming up, maybe some bold predictions, and just get an idea of what we think each team's going to do in 2021. So this is part one of that talk. I cut this off because obviously pretty long episode. We did switch this week to daily episodes now. So Monday through Friday, you're going to have an episode of Locked On Cubs. I am going to hold myself to that schedule. I know I've been pretty awful with sticking to schedules in recent past, but I promise this year and throughout here, you guys are going to have daily episodes for each week here. And if that does change, obviously I'll let you guys know. But we are breaking this up into two episodes, so today is going to be part one where we're talking about just what we're expecting from this from the Cubs and the other teams in the NL Central, maybe some of the prospects from the Pirates and Brewers. We hear from Ethan Smith and Jake Massarani from the Lockdown Pirates and Brewers show here in the second half. And then the part two of this episode will go out tomorrow, Tuesday, and you will have the second portion of our prospect talked as well as some of the predictions for the NL Central. But before we jump into that, I do have a quick word from one of our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Head to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON to get yourself 20% off your next order. That's BuiltBar.com to get yourself some of the best tasting protein bars you can find. But with that, here is the first part of our massive crossover NL Central episode here on Locked On Cubs.
Hey, Locked On fans. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV, real updates on odds and props, on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use the mobile app device to sign up today and receive 50% off on a welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Use promo code LOCKEDON.
Hello, everybody. It's still the offseason, but spring training is upon us, and we have a massive, massive NL Central roundtable crossover show heading your way. We've got hosts from all five NL Central teams. My name is Lucas Smith, host of Locked On Cardinals. We've also got Ethan Smith of Locked On Pirates, Sean Sears of Locked On Cubs, Jake Mastriani of Locked On Brewers, and Jeff Carr of Locked On Reds. I know this is, you guys are all going to answer at once, but how are we doing today, gentlemen?
Doing great.
Doing all right. Can't complain.
I'll answer last. I'm doing fine since where the Pirates finish this year.
I am very happy. I'm glad we got a full division, man. Like, we haven't had too many seasons where we've had a full division of hosts, so I'm very excited to have you all here.
Yeah, very definitely.
Yeah, it's going to be fun talking about kind of the general overview. So I say there's no point in getting busted around. Let's get right into it. We're all going to go around and share kind of our two-minute overview, our elevator pitch of the team, if you will. And I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but since the Pirates might finish last, Ethan, we'll give you the opportunity to go first to share us the news about the Pittsburgh Pirates in 2021.
Yeah. All right. Well, as everybody knows that's probably listening, the Pirates are one of the more active teams in Major League Baseball, which was a good and a bad thing just because you traded away three of your top players in Jameson Taillon, Joe Musgrove, and Josh Bell. So the casual fan who's not maybe a Pirates fan probably could maybe tell you one guy that's on the team, and that's Key Brian Hayes, who I'm predicting wins Rookie of the Year this year after his 376 outing and 85 at-bats last year. But this season is a lot more about individual performances for the Pittsburgh Pirates with guys like Mitch Keller, Brian Reynolds, Anthony Alford, Cole Tucker, Colin Moran, Jacob Stallings, pretty much the whole lineup. So wins and losses won't be that important. It'll be more about who does Ben Cherington have to build for the future. So that's pretty much what's going to be going on in Pittsburgh. Maybe we steal some games in there from the other four teams, and because it's pretty much a four-team race, one of those wins might end up being the, like, thorn in a team's side or something, but that's really where we're at.
Yeah, definitely, you know, a lot of prospects and things to be excited for the future, but maybe not necessarily 2021. I don't know what the rest of the division looks like. It could be packed at the top four. So we'll move on to the Cardinals' rival and have Sean Sears go next. Tell us about the Cubs in 2021, Sean.
Yeah, it was trying. I was pretty tough to figure out what the heck they were going to do this offseason, because I know I think Lucas, you and I have had a couple podcasts where we like talked about like Kyle Schwarber maybe ended up in the Cardinals. He's with the Washington Nationals now. We joked about Chris Bryant trades a bunch this offseason, but they're back, and the Cubs apparently are like so confident in them being back, they're going to like flood social media with Brizzo picks. So I mean, I don't know. I hope they're not playing with our emotions, but 2021 is going to be weird for the Cubs. It's such a weird outlook on the season, because like looking back a couple of years ago, the Cubs really wanted the season because it was the last year of Chris Bryant's control, and they started out by trading you Darvish. But as the offseason's come together, they've kind of put together a decent looking team. It looks like they'll still be competitive in this division. They get has more to do with a lot of the other teams not spending a ton of money this year, but they did add some additions. There's some guys on this roster I'm interested in, but I think the big question is going to be, can the offensive guys we saw take a big step back last year come back to career norms or push up to where we thought their potential might be coming into 20? And then what happens with that pitching staff? Because without you, Darvish, Kyle Hendricks is a pitcher, and Kyle Davies came off a pretty strong season with the San Diego Padres. But after that, a lot of question marks. Jake Arrieta's on this team, and that's awesome. But sorry, Ethan, I'm sure 2015 still hurts. Yeah, I still love that day. I love Jake Arrieta, and that's awesome. But to expect him to put any numbers up like he did in his final few games as a Cub is probably a lot to ask for. So there's a lot of questions. This team could still probably win maybe 80 games, maybe 90. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Well, definitely a lot of questions. And you and I talked about that they've come a long way since 2016, and probably not in the way that we thought they would have.
Yeah, but, completely opposite direction. Yeah.
We'll go with the man in the amazing Mouse Rat t-shirt next. Jeff Carr, tell us about the excitingness of the Cincinnati Reds in 2021.
Oh, my gosh. It's a very confusing excitingness, because they're coming off of a year where they were terrible for the first half, and they were amazing for the second half, and then they disappeared in the playoffs. And they built on that by welcoming everybody back, who put together a 212 batting average and a weirdly top 10 OPS when it came to the National League. So it's really hard to figure out what this team is, especially when they decided to field a team that doesn't include a shortstop. And they've got all these guys that they say are competing for it. Nobody believes in any of them, and we're not really sure what's going to happen there. So it's going to be interesting to see if they just field a team with only seven position players. That might be a thing this year. All in all, though, very excited to see some bounce backs from different guys. I mean, you've got the awesomeness that was Shogo Akiyama in September. Hopefully he can be the leadoff hitter. And you've got a rotation that, while it did lose the Cy Young Award winner, they still are pretty strong. I wouldn't say they're as deep as they were last year, but you still got Castillo, you still got Gray, and you've got the up and coming Tyler Mahle, which most people may not know this, but if you looked deep enough, Tyler Mahle actually had a better ERA than Sonny Gray last year. So it's a talented top end of the rotation. They got to figure out, is Wade Miley still in this? What do they got in the fifth rotation spot? And they felt comfortable enough, maybe comfortable, maybe they just wanted to save money, I don't know, in letting go of Raisel Iglesias and Archie Bradley. But they've replaced them with some interesting guys. They got Cam Bedrosian on a minor league deal with invite to spread. I don't know how you get that guy in a minor league deal. I'm really looking forward to seeing what he's going to bring. They got Sean Doolittle, a.k.a. Obi-Wan Kenobi Doolittle. He's coming up. So I think it's going to be a really fun season, and I also think it's going to be a really frustrating season. I'm going to eat a lot of fry box trying to figure this team out.
Well, you'll enjoy the fry box then. And yeah, I really like Iglesias. I was sad to see him go, but We'll save mine for last, and we'll go ahead and have Jake tell us about the Brewers, since they did steal the Gold Glove second baseman from the Cardinals. So, Jake, tell us about the Brewers.
Yeah, so the Brewers obviously are in an interesting season because obviously the pitching kind of carried them last year, which the bit unusual from the norm of the Brewers kind of having a bunch of sluggers in the lineup. But honestly, everybody on the offensive side underperformed last year. So certainly hoping that the pitching, you know, stays the same and that the offense gets back to their career norms. I mean, you had Lorenzo Cain, who ended up opting out. You had Christian Yelich, you know, struggling, hitting around 212. Keston Hira struggling. Avisel Garcia struggling. I mean, you went down the lineup and everybody on the offense underperformed last year. So just hoping that those guys get back really to their normal levels. And you hope that, you know, Corbin Burns' breakout was for real. You hope that Brandon Woodruff just continues and stay healthy. And the Brewers, you know, got a really solid team. They're a really solid foundation. Obviously, you know, Colton Wong, sorry about that, Lucas, was the big pickup, you know, of the offseason. And he's really just going to shore up that defense. The Brewers got some pitchers at the back of the rotation who really, you know, depend on the defense behind them, a lot of ground ball guys. So getting Colton Wong there is definitely going to help out a lot. And getting Cain back in center, you know, who he's getting up there in age a little bit, but still a pretty good, solid defensive center fielder, I think is going to be big for the pitching staff. The big question going into spring training is going to be at shortstop, which looks like it's going to be a battle between Luis Urias and Orlando Arcia. So that's going to be the big thing to figure out in spring training, whoever wins that job there. You know, if Arcia is there, he's really made some big steps defensively. Obviously the bat hasn't progressed the way Brewers fans were hoping, but that'd be a really good, you know, up the middle defense with Arcia and Wong and Cain in center field. I like the thoughts of that, but it seems like the Brewers really want Urias to get a shot there at shortstop after making the big trade for him last year. So we'll see how that pans out for him. But again, if the offense in the lineup just bounces back to their normal levels, I really like the Brewers' chances.
Yeah, I would even say, Jake, like if Christian Yelich just bounces back, I mean, he's probably the best player in this division. It's insane that guy didn't have the season he did. He even just puts up like career norms. The Brewers are right in the conversation, I think. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I keep telling everybody on my podcast too, 2020 numbers, I don't put a lot of stock in. I mean, exactly. Yelich was starting to figure it out towards the end of September. If that's a whole 162 game season, I think he gets back to, you know, around his career norm. So, you know, I have, you know, no doubts that he's going to back be one of the best players in baseball again in 2021.
Best bullpen in the division by far.
Oh, yeah. God, Devin Williams. How did that guy, like, what in the world? Like, he just made the Cubs look silly.
Yeah. Give up one earned run the whole year or something stupid like that.
Right.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
I just can't wait for Colton Wong now to, like, screw over the Pirates in, like, the most imaginable way possible, except for the Milwaukee Brewers now. And what – I forget what they call it. Like, Pirate fans call your stadium, I think it's, like, the, like, brewing, like, something palace, because, like, every time we go and play there, we lose in the most imaginable way possible.
Yeah, it seems like that happens in a lot of different places for Pittsburgh. I could be wrong, but –
Yeah, it seems to be the trend.
We just fight Cincinnati all the time.
Yeah. You do. Yes.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
Hey guys, Sean Sears here from Locked On Cubs to talk to you guys about Built Bar. Built Bar is one of the best tasting protein bars I've ever had. I know I talk to you guys about this all the time, but Built Bar is not only one of the best tasting protein bars with flavors like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, lemon almond cheesecake. It's a new one I've been trying. Those are all new flavors, but they've got their original flavors too, like peanut butter, banana bread, mint brownie. I love mint brownie. That's been my breakfast of choice the last couple months now. But the bars are 100% covered in chocolate, super easy to chew, soft, but the best thing about them is they're healthy. They're great for the health conscious guy, losing weight, whether that's losing, maintaining weight. It's a nice treat to indulge yourself with. They're low calorie, low sugar, high fiber, high protein. It's great for the keto diet if you're trying to lose weight during quarantine here right now. But take, for instance, the cherry Baraka. 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs. That is incredibly healthy for you, is good for you, obviously, but also tastes really good. It's a nice snack to have throughout the day. It's better than me chewing on, like, I don't know, a donut. I'm a
big fan of goldfish and chips and crackers. It's nice to be able to just eat one of these protein bars. I'm relatively full. I don't snack throughout the day, and I'm ready to eat dinner later on in the day. It's nice. I don't spoil my meal, and my girlfriend doesn't get mad at me when I don't want to eat the dinner she just made. But Built Bar has the promo code Locked On to get yourself 20% off your next order. So you head to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On. You save yourself 20% off your next order of Built Bars. They're delicious. They're nutritious. They're easy to bring anywhere on the go. Great snack for work from home. Head to BuiltBar.com, use promo code Locked On, save yourself 20% off, and give these guys a shout out. They've been doing awesome work for the Locked On Network and are making some of the best protein bars you'll ever have.
All right, so before we jump into Lucas's thing, I want to say the irony here is that the team that did the most in the offseason to add the most is now the team that is talking last. So, all right, Lucas, you can.
thank you, Jeff. I appreciate that. Well, obviously, when you think about the Cardinals offseason, it was nothing pretty much until January, mid to late January. And then Ken Rosenthal sends out that tweet of, you know, here we go again, Arenado and the Cardinals were talking, and I was like, whatever, we've had this conversation for the last year and a half, and then it happened, and then it was a crazy frenzy for a couple of weeks, and this team, you know, in my opinion, I mean, other than maybe the Brewers, improved the most from their 2020 selves. And again, I agree that you can take 2020 with a grain of salt, but just with the fact that you have now probably the best first third base combination in all of baseball with Arenado and Goldschmidt, that helps this offense a ton. Pitching wise, I'm really high. I talk about this pretty much any day in my podcast. I'm really high on this pitching staff. They might not have the best, you know, number one names outside of Jack Flaherty, who was named the opening day starter. But I really love the depth of the staff from this, both the starting rotation and down to the bullpen. I'm in love with this pitching staff. I think it can carry them a long ways. The biggest question mark for this team is going to be the outfield. You've got a lot of high risk, high downside guys in Harrison Bader, Tyler O'Neill, Dylan Carlson, who I'll talk about in the prospect segment of the show, but a lot of guys that have electric capability. Bader's as fast as a lightning bolt. O'Neill has light tower power, but it's just a matter of, can they put it all together and not hit 210 for a year? And can they anchor the outfield well enough? So if the outfield plays to their expectations, I don't have too many other question marks outside of that. Obviously losing Wong is a big loss, but I'm honestly, this could just be me being excited about the Arenado and looking at this brand new shiny thing and being excited about it. But I am really excited for the Cardinals heading into 2021.
I was just looking at this, and this is kind of a wild stat for all five teams, but they were talking about transactions, since that's kind of what the talk was about. Talent leaving the NL Central had a 44.2 WAR. Talent joining the NL Central had a 6.6.
Thank you, Nolan Arenado.
And keep in mind that 6.6 is, or that 6.6, 6.9 of that comes from Nolan Arenado himself. So that number was 0.3 or -0.3 at one point.
Thank you, Jake Arrieta is probably the other side of that. Yeah, that's not surprising. When you trade Yu Darvish away, it's gonna, division's gonna take a hit.
Joe Musgrove, Jameson Taillon,
right? Josh Bell, that's a huge hit. Yeah,
Trevor Bauer.
So to our friends that host podcasts for the NL West and the NL East, what we're saying is, have a fun 2021. We're just going to watch.
Enjoy all the good guys. Yeah.
We're just going to like battle all year, and I'm just going to be back here with my popcorn just watching it all happen.
Well, the NL Central might be one of
the NL East.
Well, you could argue that the other divisions are stronger. They're only stronger because we made them stronger. Like, we're going to take credit for whoever wins the World Series.
You're welcome, baseball. Yeah.
Right. Didn't love me then, don't love me now.
Yeah. So that's kind of the general overview that we wanted to discuss. But as we kind of move on now, honestly, Ethan, you might be the most excited about all this because we're going to talk about prospects. Obviously, we all know about Key Brian Hayes, but what else can you tell us about the prospects that the Pirates got back in their moves this offseason?
The prospects we got back in our moves, we got Hudson Head from the San Diego Padres. He's a name you'll hear like 3 years from now. So, you got something really good for Joe Musgrove. They also brought back Pittsburgh native David Bednar as well. Miguel Yajure, who actually had some pitching for the New York Yankees last year in the Jameson Taillon trade, could be a fifth option in the rotation because of all the injuries that were in New York, and he actually played pretty well. Eddie Yean and Will Crow came over in the Josh Bell trade, both pretty solid pitchers. And then if you go away from the deals and what was already in place, Quinn Priester has absolutely shot up every prospect board all winter, and he's going to probably get a lot of playing time in the spring. And then you still have to see what Nick Gonzalez, your number 7 overall pick in 2020, can do, because he didn't get to play last year. You also have guys like Kanan Smith, who came over from the Yankees trade, who's had like a power trip for the last like month and a half all of a sudden. You also have guys like O'Neill Cruz, who had all that stuff happen in the Dominican Republic and like is now there playing shortstop, but could play first base at some point, being 6'7".
Yeah, he's a massive dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, he's 6'7". Imagine having an athletic 6'7" first baseman. You also have to look at guys like Travis Swaggerty, who's an outfielder that could be coming up next year. Jared Oliva could be on the cusp of it with all the guys that we have in the outfield right now as well. And I'm thinking Gregory Polanco's gone. And don't forget, the Pirates also signed a top international prospect in Shaylin Polanco, who is already like 6 foot at the age of 16. So he's only going to grow more and already has a lot of power. So the Pirates have a lot of stuff going on, and I don't think they're done trading either. I think Adam Frazier gets dealt when he's healthy again. He's not healthy right now, but I think he gets dealt when he's healthy again. Colin Moran could get dealt at some point, because Mason Martin has been getting a lot of traction in the farm system as well. And then you have to do something about this middle infield. You can't have 7 middle infielders.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to do something about it. And then, I mean, outside of that, realistically, everybody else is about 2023 or later. But most of the guys that I named are guys that could be impactful soon.
So definitely a lot to be excited about as a Pirates.
That's a crew. Yeah.
I think we rose 10 spots in Baseball America's prospect list this offseason from 26 to 16 or something like that.
Yeah, you guys are right in the middle of the pack. And honestly, with how young some of those guys are, like your system's going to be top 10 by the end of this year for sure. Like you're going to have at least a couple guys break out.
Mm-hmm. You're going to add a rocker later, or like one of those top pitchers in the draft.
Right. That's right. Because Duh. Yeah, you guys are going to be stacked. You're going to have some options, man.
Looking at Rocker and Leiter, like on Pitching Ninja on Twitter, those guys have electric stuff. I mean, that is just – whoever gets them is just getting two of the top pitchers in the draft. It's ridiculous.
Don't sleep on Jaden Hill, though.
Yeah.
I liked JT Brubaker was a guy I thought was fun last year. I don't know if he has any, like, prospects for the future of the Pirates, but I liked his stuff.
I think he's going to be, like, our fourth pitcher this year, fourth or fifth, just because we picked up Tyler Anderson.
Oh, yeah. Anderson's a decent guy. Decent bridge guy. Yeah. Jake, what's going on with the Brewers prospects? I know their system isn't that high, but I mean, I know you've got Luis Urias out there. Is there anyone else you're looking at right now that could be maybe a surprise candidate for the Brewers this year, like a Devin Williams?
Yeah, I don't know that there's any more Devin Williams in the system, and certainly don't have a list as lengthy as Ethan does there. But I mean, the guy they drafted last year in the first round, Garrett Mitchell, I mean, he instantly became the top prospect in their system, you know, and being a college bat, he could advance, you know, rather quickly. Maybe not this year, but certainly maybe next season, depending on how this year goes. And it's so, you know, so uncertain and unknown what the minor league players are going to do this year, because you don't know what progress they made, you know, last year, you know, with not having a minor league season. So see some of these guys get pushed aggressively. We could see them get slow played. You know, so it's really going to be a team by team is how they handle these minor league players and their development, you know, kind of based on what they were able to accomplish last year. But a couple of prospects in the Brewers system that are getting a lot of praise this offseason. One of them is outfielder Hedbert Perez, who actually is on the 15-player minor league camp, which I didn't even know they were doing for spring training, but there's a separate little 15-player minor league camp, and he was invited to that. And so I think my understanding of that's basically they just get to work out with the major league players there, but can't participate in games and all that. But that's great experience for him. And, you know, we've already seen video of him in spring training there. So he's getting a lot of hype, a lot of attention. Another one is Antoine Kelly. He's somebody that I'm really high on, a right-handed pitcher. I think Kelly and Hedbert Perez, you know, could both, you know, become top 100 prospects possibly by the end of the season. Right now, Garrett Mitchell and Bryce Terang are their two top 100 prospects. Terang, he's getting pretty close to the major league level as well. And that's why I think it's so important for them to figure out what they're going to do with Luis Urias, because Terang's coming up pretty soon. So they want to know what they have in Urias to see, you know, what the plan could be for Bryce there. The other prospect that I'm high on in the Brewer system is Ethan Small, pitcher out of Mississippi State. He's, you know, he's got a pretty easy ceiling to me as a back end starter, but he's somebody that I think could be a solid middle of the rotation guy for a long time. And he's somebody that could be ready this year. Again, another, you know, mature college guy coming out of the SEC. You're playing college baseball in SEC. I always tell people you're already playing single A baseball at that point. So, you know, those players just come out of that league just ready to go. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, again, depending on how he progressed last year and what he does beginning of this season, that he could be ready in 2021.
Yeah, that's awesome. I feel like it's always about what's next, you know, even though we, you know, the Brewers might have a shot at the division, there's still always an idea about what's next. So,
all right, that will do it here for today's episode of Locked On Cubs. Like I said, tomorrow will be part two of this conversation with the NL Central host. We'll be talking more specifics about prospects. We'll get the rest of the crew. Obviously, we only heard the Brewers and Pirates there, but we will be hearing the rest of that, as well as some predictions for the NL Central in terms of bold predictions, as well as our win total projections on the season. So keep an eye out for that on Tuesday. That'll come out Tuesday morning. And then Wednesday, we'll be meeting with Lucas Smith of the Locked On Cardinals show to do our crossover episode. So we'll go a little more hands in, dive in a little further on the Cardinals, Nolan Arenado, Paul Goldschmidt, what this rotation looks like for the Cardinals beyond Jack Flaherty, maybe some of the prospects he's really high on. Lucas mentions later on in this episode, actually, Dylan Carson. We're going to talk about why he's so high on Dylan Carson. Just kind of go from there. So keep an eye out for that. More episodes coming this week. And then we should sit down, I believe, either Thursday or Friday, it'll be an episode with Ryan Davis. So we'll get his take on what's going on with the Cubs as the Cubs played their first spring training game of the season. They did beat the San Diego Padres 1-0. It was Rex Brothers who won against James Reeves. Super exciting. We'll break down some of those games, as well as maybe some of the trends we're seeing from some of the guys we're keeping an eye on in this spring training. But we're going to get Ryan's thoughts as well on who he's watching during spring training so far for the Cubs. But plenty to look forward to this week and for weeks to come. We've got plenty of content coming, so keep an eye on all our episodes. And like I said at the top of the show, we are daily, Monday through Friday now. There will be an episode of Locked On Cubs. And if there is not, please yell at me on Twitter. I need to be shamed. But that will do it here for today's episode of Locked On Cubs. You guys are some of the best fans I could deal with. It is so awesome interacting with you guys on a daily basis, especially on Twitter. I love that. Keep tweeting at me. Keep tweeting at Locked On Cubs. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Cubs. Follow me on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. And make sure you are subscribed to this podcast on whatever podcast app you use, but that's Google, Apple, Spotify, TuneIn app, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. And then make sure you're also checking out Locked On MLB, which is our national show hosted by walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Alden. Please call him Sully. Every day in Locked On MLB, there's a unique look at the majors, both past and present. Sully is awesome. He's got some of the best stories, gets some of the best guests on our network, and honestly, is just one of the funniest dudes. So make sure if you're not subscribed to Locked On MLB, wherever you can get your podcast. But that is our show. Keep an eye out for part two dropping tomorrow. Meeting with Lucas later on this week. More news coming out. We'll be on top of it here on Locked On Cubs. But with that, you guys enjoy the rest of your day. And as always, go Cubs.